your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome back to another episode of Alchemy. Joining me today, Matt Barron, founder and managing partner, 1212 Ventures. And 1212 Ventures is a cannabis-focused VC fund. And Matt, you focused a lot of your time on Cookies. Obviously, everybody knows a leading cannabis brand that's got quite a massive following of passionate consumers. And really appreciate you coming on the show.
Absolutely, Jeff. Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah. So, you know, Matt, your background, number one, is, you know, great. I think you come from a pretty interesting and diverse, amazing experience. But, you know, you've really been in the VC space for a while. And I thought it might be fun to, you know, just start the show of, you know, talking to us a little bit about how you really got involved in investing in the cannabis space in particular.
Sure. So you started out career doing management consulting work, transitioned then into the healthcare consulting space. Ultimately went back to school with an increasing interest in the venture capital world. You know, I did some growth and strategy for early stage companies, analytics, artificial intelligence, healthcare, but I found myself really drawn to venture and particularly entrepreneurs with disruptive ideas operating in disruptive industries. And ultimately there's no industry that is as disruptive and exciting to me as cannabis. So when a buddy had a pair of opportunities, you know, back in 2016, you know, won a cannabis business park up in Humboldt County, you know, really in the heart of the Emerald Triangle, and subsequently a cannabis-focused VC fund, I thought that they were perfect opportunities for me to officially dip my toe into the space and get involved. Ultimately, that individual who had started the cannabis business park and Mesh Ventures, the VC fund, put money into Cookies. He'd spent some time with Burner over the previous years, developed a strong relationship. They collaborated to think about how to transition Cookies into the California recreational market. And on the heels of that work and a Mesh leading Cookies investment, you know, Parker Burling joined Cookies to serve as president and help run day-to-day operations. At that point, I moved into beyond just an investor into the space, into actually, you know, participating in the day-to-day operations of a cannabis-focused fund. And that was about a year and a half ago. So that was, you know, early 2018 when I joined Mesh. And we've since evolved into 1212 Ventures, which is a very Cookies-centric fund. You know, we seek out globally scalable brands and technologies with a particular emphasis on communities of passionate followers, as you mentioned, Jeff. And we believe that those communities of passionate followers tend to concentrate around brands like Cookies, authentic, credible, differentiated legacy brands. You know, people who have really championed for legalization and have been involved in the space for an extended period of time, not just brands that were slapped together after a, you know, Canada-based IPO.
Got it. So, you know, I think, you know, one thing that I wanted to bring up today with you is obviously, you know, we've all been dealing with somewhat of a global pandemic, unless you were sleeping under a rock somewhere and on an island, you probably, you know, have felt what's happened this spring. And, you know, you guys had some news about a month ago, a little over a month ago, and you guys, you know, invested even more from a capital perspective into Cookies and then also the retail enterprises for Cookies and then also Backbone Software. So I would love for you to be able to talk about how these three kind of fit in the puzzle together, you know, and kind of the focus on that funding.
That's great. Absolutely. So certainly the pandemic that's hit every country in the world has been devastating. I mean, we're seeing people get very sick, passing away, you know, dying alone in hospital beds. From an industry perspective, you know, cannabis has earned an essential business designation. Because people increasingly recognize that the cannabis plant has a lot of medical utility, you know, anything from pain management to nausea control, you know, helping people to sleep at night. You see the Pedialyte, right, actually, you know, prescription medication on shelves now, are accessible to people in need. And, you know, cannabis dispensaries being allowed to stay open, during coronavirus and the entire supply chains being allowed to stay up and operational, you know, is really reflective of an increased level of awareness around, you know, what this plant is and can do for people to help them live better, healthier, happier lives. And even in, even with, you know, the pandemic headwinds, we remain very bullish about the business, and we're particularly bullish about brands like Cookies that have a maniacal focus on quality. You know, you go back 10 years into Berner interviews and you'll find him always talking about cannabis as a medication, as something that people should medicate on, not use frivolously, and not use in excess. It should have a particular utility and benefit to people's lives. And that's the type of entrepreneur that we want to get behind and support when the economy is booming and when the economy is busting. And there was no better way for us to demonstrate our commitment to Berner and to Cookies than by continuing to financially support him through the economic headwinds. As we move into, you know, the retail investment that we made, you know, Cookies Retail, it's a Cookies branded real estate fund that goes out and raises capital to open up Cookies dispensaries and buy dispensary licenses. Our attitude was consistent. You know, we thought that was a business that can and should do well, even if the economy was in a bit of a downturn, and wanted to finance that. And finally, you know, Backbone, it's a supply chain optimization technology. So that's a business that really helps cultivation and production partners optimize, you know, their manufacturing and extraction processes and beyond across cannabis, you know, THC and hemp. And, you know, in the face of a pandemic, when a limited number of industries have received that essential business designation, you know, there was no better company than Backbone to continue to add value up and down the supply chain, helping to keep stores open, but also ensuring that, you know, the supply chain was intact and optimized.
Totally. Yeah, I think it's very interesting. You know, we've had so many guests on the show, definitely through the pandemic. And I think a big part of that too is because everyone has been kind of at home and not traveling. And the same theme seemed to be coming up over and over is, you know, while we've been on a pandemic, like, cannabis is deemed essential, where you could go and actually buy, you know, pre-rolls or vapes or whatever it might be, but you can't get a haircut, right? And I think that's been a very big moment for the industry in the sense of, hey, people need these products for whatever ailments they have or whatever need they might have. And you're starting to see this almost from a mainstream perspective. People might not be paying attention to cannabis, are now paying attention to it. And so one of the things that also has come up quite a bit, especially from a lot of the founders and CEOs of these cannabis MSOs or SSOs, is they've seen incredible spikes too in sales during the initial phases where people were, you know, almost concerned that they weren't able to get product. And now they've seen things level off, but there has been a various surge across the board. So I'm just curious with, you know, your experience, especially with working with Cookies, like, you know, they already have this crazy passionate consumer base where people line up to get a new product or any product for that matter. Have they seen any changes throughout this, you know, very different times and ways that we've been experiencing?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the Cookies team, to their credit, responded very quickly when the first trepidations around coronavirus started to spread. So we have a really strong leadership across our retail partners, but also internally to Cookies Corporate. And they immediately executed a change in standard operating procedures from a, you know, volume of people allowed in stores, you know, significantly reducing that number even before it was mandated to do so, immediately implementing an even more robust, you know, cleaning and hygienics policy just to ensure that, you know, the experience of smelling cookies is very unique within this industry, right? Our stores have jars of Cookies products, so you can touch it, smell it, see it. We immediately, you know, instituted a policy to cleanse and sanitize the entire experience. In certain markets, you know, we had to shut down the stores completely or limit accessibility only to curbside delivery. right? So we have a medical dispensary in Detroit on 8 Mile. That store is still curbside delivery only. So I think that we were, I think the Cookies team was particularly responsive and was one of the industry leaders in terms of reacting to the pandemic and ensuring that customers still had a safe experience. And what's resulted has been, from a pure economics perspective, a continued acceleration of growth. Same store sales have increased every month since January. The supply chain has remained intact, from farmers and the cultivation partners through production, the manufacturing aspects. The teams and the partners have really committed to maintaining supply chain and maintaining supply of products on store shelves to ensure that people who consume cannabis are able to get their hands on the products that they need to improve their lives. So very proud of the team and excited about the future.
So on to more of a light topic. I think a lot of folks who are listening and probably have wondered this, but Cookies has really created a pretty amazing brand. But where did the name come from? Like, how did Burner come up with the actual name Cookies?
There's a few different stories behind that, but the one I like is that, Cookies was kind of the original code word for weed, back when there were, sort of parents in his orbit. So that was the kind of original code word. And there was the first Cookies family strain, was said to smell like Thin Mints. And that begot an original strain name that, is more commonly referred to as GSC. These days,
the Girl Scout cookies.
You said it.
Yep, I said it, not you, right? yeah, that's really interesting. And so, from a, I guess, in the in-store experience of smelling the product, was that the original cookies scent, or of the strain, or is it just the different strains now?
That was just the genesis of that initial strain, Since then, Cookies has evolved, and Burner has hyper focused on genetics and identifying breeders and strains with a unique flavor profile to really build out a robust menu within Cookies Fam. So it can be the size and color of the buds, it can be the taste, it can be the experience. It's all about having a diverse menu of super premium product so that consumers from various walks of life can all find an experience that is most appropriate and suitable for them.
And so from a, I guess a naming convention perspective too, like what's Burner's real name?
Gilbert Milam Jr.
That's quite a name.
Indeed. Yeah. Burn has developed just a really impressive rap career, and Burner became the name that he wanted to use for his rap career. He's currently recording his 36th or 37th album, and he's already dropped a couple this year. He's just a very successful rap artist with an extraordinary work ethic, and he opted to take on the Burner sort of stage name, and it's stuck and carried over into the business world as well.
Cool. I feel like I need my own stage name too, but I don't have any. I think what's interesting is you kind of stand as, both, I kind of look at you where it's like, yeah, you're in on the investment side, but you're also really involved in Cookies. Anything from you as far as you look into, the entire cannabis space, anything that you see right now that is, shaking things up, or anything that you see coming down the line that's kind of like, oh, okay, that's interesting. More states, coming involved. I know there's like a lot of chatter right now with, because of the pandemic, a lot of states need to fill the coffers with revenue. Anything you're hearing or seeing, in the space as a whole?
Yeah, absolutely. From a just general legalization perspective, the designation of cannabis as an essential business is pretty remarkable, right? I mean, today we see cannabis legalized for medical consumption in 33 states, for recreational consumption in 11. I believe that the essential business designation further accelerates legalization. We're seeing how different marketplace structures on a state-by-state basis have led to varying levels of, you know, successful programs, different levels of, you know, illicit market enforcement, different levels of taxation, you know, on a state-by-state basis and on a city-by-city basis, even within states. So it'll be interesting to see how that continues to evolve, right? How the Safe Banking Act evolves. You know, major markets are still navigating their legalization process, right? Itching to see what happens with Florida and its recreational market. You know, itching to see what happens with New York, you know, how Pennsylvania evolves. So there's a lot to be excited about. Certainly not expecting the legalization process to, you know, happen overnight. There's a moderately large election coming up later this year that will have some impact on how things proceed. But ultimately, you know, we think that, and the statistics back it up, you know, cannabis legalization is an issue with a pretty darn significant amount of bipartisan support. And we expect that to see, we expect that to play out over time, you know, particularly as, again, you know, more and more people recognize the medical utility of the plant. And you know, the demonization of this plant over decades is exposed as a fallacy, you know, a very, very damaging fallacy, both from a health perspective as well as from a, you know, community, you know, prosecution perspective.
Do you think, for, at least from the investment side, you know, if cannabis were to become federally legal across the board, you know, would we see a ton of VCs and investors kind of flood the market?
Sure. You know, I think that there's still a pretty darn significant reservation from, you know, institutional investors are pretty much handcuffed from participating in the space. You know, we also see a number of groups that can only make, you know, ancillary services investments, right? Businesses and technologies that are not plant touching. Mm-hmm. Once those restrictions are lifted, it certainly will increase the volume of players in the space. I don't necessarily think that it will increase the volume of educated and experienced players. So I think that there's risk of another bubble, similar to what we saw, you know, with the run of IPOs in the Canadian stock exchanges. You know, the key for us will be to remain disciplined around those communities of passionate followers, not presuming that we can segment the market on a whiteboard and concoct brands, slogans, and logos out of thin air that will resonate with consumers. That's not where our focus lays. It's not where our unfair advantage as a fund lays. You know, the authentic, incredible stories exist today, right? There are owner operators and founders of brands that have put in years of work advocating on behalf of legalization and carving out very loyal consumer groups for them and their brands. You know, those are the people that we're looking for. Those are the people that we're striving to back. You know, Burner started Cookies in 2009. You know, this is not an overnight success story. You know, it's over a decade in the making. And you know, you certainly don't have to have been grinding for 10 years to catch our attention, but we do like to see, you know, a level of effort beyond just a well-designed pitch deck.
Totally. What do you think is the, say, the largest opportunity and maybe even the biggest challenge in the sector right now?
Oh, it's a good question. The biggest opportunity, you know, we think that, you know, I continue to believe that brands will create the greatest level of value within this space going forward. I think the biggest challenge that, you know, the big publicly traded companies will have is, you know, navigating legalization and figuring out, you know, which markets they need to be in from a, you know, cultivation and distribution perspective, and which markets, you know, they potentially stood up operations that will soon be obsolete once interstate commerce passes. Right? If we get federal legalization or if we're allowed to ship product over state lines, I think that's going to have a very significant impact on the industry as a whole. You know, and some of those brands that were created and, you know, sought to have their own vertically integrated operations to support their brand and have control over their own supply chain, however big or small, might struggle if all of a sudden, you know, they're not only competing with other businesses within their state, but now with others in their region and frankly, internationally.
I think just kind of final question on the cannabis side of things, but, you know, what are you most excited about in the next 12 months in the cannabis sector?
That's great. Yeah, I'm really excited to see, you know, the fallacies of the war on drugs exposed. I'm very excited to see a deeper commitment to legacy players and folks that have advocated for legalization, have been prosecuted for, you know, minor possession. You know, the work that groups like the Last Prisoner Project do, I think, is fantastic and really important. So we're excited to see, you know, brands, businesses, you know, that are committed to the industry and the culture of cannabis thrive and get resources and capital, you know, needed to be the best versions of themselves. Excited to see, you know, more research go into cannabis, particularly around medical utilities. The fact that, you know, Congress precluded companies from scientists from researching medical efficacy, I think is shameful. So excited to see how viable clinical studies are executed upon, and we can learn more about the plant. I mean, there's so much that nobody knows at this point, but there's certainly a tidal wave of evidence, you know, anecdotal or actual, that there's some real value and real life improvement opportunities, you know, hidden within these plants that deserve to be shared.
Cool. Well, Matt, that was great. And I think, you know, if you've listened to the show before, we always talk a little bit about work and business in the beginning, but then we kind of end the show with some quick fire questions about you.
Great. You ready? Absolutely.
Okay. First question. Do you have a secret talent?
Oh, a secret talent. Man, not particularly. I try to...
You got to be good at something that no one knows about.
Yeah, you know, played some sports when I was younger. Just hyper-focused on keeping wifey happy. And, you know, my son turned 3 yesterday. Baby girl turns 1 next month.
Well, happy birthday.
Just trying to focus on being a good pops at this point.
Which is the one that gave you the haircut?
Oh, that was my son, Thomas. Yeah, we did the Mohawks for Easter this year. Running out of ideas in quarantine. My secret talent is not keeping the kids entertained during quarantine. Okay. I know that much.
Well, what's the first thing you're going to do when you get out of quarantine for real?
Oh, I'd love to take my wife to dinner, get a nice bottle of Brunello, and sit down for a quiet one-on-one meal. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, amazing. Well, a quiet one-on-one meal. What that looks like, right? Anything that you have that is really, you get really frustrated with? Like, what's the most frustrating product you own?
Oh, I've got a preposterously bulky keychain, so I'd love to figure out, you know, how I could universalize a key to make entering and exiting cars, buildings more convenient. Perpetual war with Comcast on the internet and Wi-Fi fronts. Other than that, nothing blows my hair back too much.
I feel like somebody needs to make, when you just pulled up, you just said Wi-Fi, and that's for me. I have a pretty long house on my property, and, you know, if I go into different rooms, you know, I will lose it until I get into that room. But I really need something for outside, and I haven't really seen anything on the market that's like full Wi-Fi coverage outside. Like, for a day like today, where I might get an hour free, I'd like to be outside for lunch.
Absolutely.
But if I have to take a call or do a video call or something, it doesn't work that well. So if whoever's listening to this is an inventor, we need something for outside Wi-Fi.
There you go.
Okay. Last question. What food do you crave the most?
Oh boy. My last day on earth meal would have to be a nice little 8-ounce filet, mashed potatoes with butter, green beans, and my mom's apple pie. My mom makes a killer apple pie that is life improving. Best in the world.
Good, especially because lunchtime is coming up very soon for me.
There you go.
Now I'm hungry. Well, awesome, Matt. Listen, appreciate you coming on the show and, you know, great work with everything you're doing at 1212. And of course, you know, all the great things that are coming out of Cookies. It's amazing to see and, you know, appreciate all the great insight that you've given on the space. So thanks again.
Such a pleasure, Jeff. Great show. Appreciate the time. Flattered to be a part of it.
Awesome, Matt.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.